Yes, it's still morning. I like to be right about these things. It's an odd quirk about me, amongst one of many. You're very welcome this morning, all our visitors. Those of you that are familiar with what goes on in a church and those that aren't so much, I'm going to be revealing some big secrets around church life today. Not in a kind of Tom Cruise Scientology way, so I won't be looking to kind of brainwash you or harass you. But just some simple stuff around what it means to be community and what I feel that God's been showing me. And I'm aware, even as I talk, some of this language might be unfamiliar to people. God has been talking to me individually. Yes, it's a thing that we believe in, that God speaks to individuals through the Holy Spirit. It might be too much to take in all at once. But if you can't wrap your head around that, just relax as if John's speaking to you, and do with it what you will. Amen? Amen. Fantastic. So the name of my talk is Keep Your Love On. Nicked it from Danny Silk. Anybody heard of Danny Silk? One of the leaders at Bethel? Amen. Got a woo for Danny. And he talks about loving on purpose, and I'm hoping that there's some resonance here for all of us, that we can choose at times in our life, perhaps incrementally, or even more so, those people I know that do it really well, about learning how to love on purpose. Originally, I'm going to do a talk on the book of Nehemiah, and we were looking at expanding that as a theme around the teaching for this term. But then it became John doing a talk on lessons in Nehemiah. So there will be some very tenuous links to Nehemiah in this conversation. But I'm hoping that they'll still be relevant and have some significance to each one of us today. We can all agree that the last few months, being in this new building as a community, has been dynamic and exciting. He looks out at a couple of people. We can all agree. Yes. Hallelujah. I've got an amen. So with that in mind, and wanting to leave a time for prayer at the end, I really wanted to look at three very specific areas that might or may not have any link to Nehemiah, but they reference a building and elements of a building, features of a building, what buildings look like, what they're used for. And I just had three, I can count, honestly, I'm a grown-up, I don't need a calculator for that simple calculation, but there are three features I want to concentrate on this morning. And those are doors, walls, and windows. You might think, ooh, yeah. What's he going to talk about on doors, walls, and windows? Well, firstly, doors resonate with each one of us in so many ways, and there's so many doors that we negotiate every day of our lives as mature, adult people. I hate revolving doors. Anybody else with me on revolving doors? Probably shouldn't say that, going to be a building manager for the new Davison building, which has two revolving doors slap bang in the middle of it. I had nothing to do with that design feature. But I'm not a fan of revolving doors. But there are a lot of doors that we walk through, and we just simply walk through them. Every day we don't really pay much attention to them. And I just thought, but there are times when the doors that we walk through resonate and have a really profound psychological effect on us. Anybody think of a door that has a real effect on you when you walk through it? Prison doors. You said we wouldn't talk about this. You only came to visit me once and we said... Never mention it. Anybody else? Home. Yes. Good. Any other doors? Garden doors. Yeah. Squeaky doors. Kind of really old horror film noise, is it? Yeah. What about dentist doors? I'm looking at around... which one, Karen? Yeah, walk past those. I'm looking at a lot of people here that have studied at some time, are still studying. Exam room doors. It's coming up soon. I know. Horrible doors, aren't they? You can see the instruments of torture from the window outside as you approach. Yeah. And interview room doors, that sense of going in, and sitting down and kind of bearing yourself before a whole room of strangers. Not literally, that would be bad. I'm talking about emotionally and giving them some insight into who you are. What about hospital doors? Yeah. I had two experiences. The joy of going through a hospital door to hold the hand of my baby daughter for the first time. And then also, at another end, going through doors to hold the hand of my dad for the last time. So doors have a resonance, don't they? They have an impact on us. What about those doors out there that welcome you into the journey or into the Forest Estate Community Hub, whatever you're choosing to do? I've been thinking about these doors because there's going to come a time when those doors are just so much more than an entrance point to our community lunch. Yeah, they're going to take on a different kind of resonance. They're going to become so much more than just a door into this building. They're a place, and I've been there. So I became a Christian in 1988, so it's almost 28 years since I became a Christian. So I've lived two halves of my life knowing Jesus and not knowing Jesus. But there was a time when I walked into a church for the first time as a stranger to the vast majority of people in there. Only knew one or two people. And I look back now and think that was a pretty significant time for me, obviously, because it was on that day, my first time in church, that I gave my life to Jesus. But I always think it was a brave act. And we mustn't forget the people coming into our community through these doors for the first time. And we might not look like church and how it looks to everybody else or what they might think of it, with perhaps stained glass windows, ornate doors, physically and very visibly looking like a church. But we call ourselves a church community. So we should never forget and never fail to understand that from time to time, and it's coming soon, if it hasn't already happened, there are going to be people coming through those doors for the first time that need to see us keeping our love on, being welcoming, being hospitable, being ready for them, being ready in a gentle and a sensitive way to acknowledge just what a brave act it can be sometimes to come out of the familiar into the unfamiliar, to come out of a place of certainty into a place of uncertainty. And I'll tell you, sometimes there's nothing as uncertain as a journey meeting, is there? Yeah. I don't even know. I'm making it up as I go along. I don't really know what goes on here sometimes. But I'm hoping that when you come along and you know what you're coming for, or you think you know what you're coming for, when you leave, you feel that you've been loved. So when people come in and they experience the journey for the first time on a Sunday, no matter how you feel, and I'm talking about those people that belong to the journey, if you like, no matter how you feel, keep your love on. Think about not just those people that are on welcome, but have an eye open to those people that you will recognise and see as a first-time visitor. Yeah, keep your love on. Secondly, windows. I've given a little bit of thought to this, and they fascinate me, windows, actually. And we know that something about traditional church arrangements is they have stained glass windows. And I didn't know too much about that because, I must admit, as I said, when I first became a Christian, that was the first time I walked into a church building, but it was a secondary school. So I've never really had much experience except when I was a young child going into what I would call a formal church building, if you like. So I had to look into this and see what a stained glass window was all about. Yep, I've done my research. I've been looking at what stained glass windows are all about. Anybody know what stained glass windows are all about? Oh, good. You might be able to teach something here. That would be a novelty. Now, back in the day, many churchgoers were illiterate. They couldn't read and they couldn't write. And the idea and the purpose of stained glass windows weren't just to kind of illuminate, but they were also to illustrate and teach. So as people sat in a church congregation who couldn't read or write for themselves, they heard the Bible stories. They were read to them. But they could also look around and see these stories being depicted all around them. So it embedded something in their hearts and minds. It reinforced the Bible narrative in their hearts and minds. But this really fascinated me, something I found out about stained glass windows. Are you ready? They weren't just designed to illustrate or teach, but get this, they were designed to sedate. Can I get a, ooh, sedate. And I thought, what on earth does that mean? Like you are, I can see it all in your faces. What on earth? Sedate. And now to sedate, I've got a dictionary at home. I've only got one. I looked it up. It means to become calm, dignified, and unhurried. And the purpose of the stained glass window, as you entered in, automatically, things started to happen naturally to your body language and the tone of your voice and the way that you were. It had a calming effect on you. Has anybody ever walked into an older church or a cathedral and automatically you might have sounded or felt really busy or hurried or not in a place of calm, but as you walk in, as the light has started to diminish and become more diffused, you start to act differently. There's a little church in France that we go to each year. We go on holiday in France. I'm not being holy. We don't just go to this little church in France. It happens to be in the village, and I like visiting that little church. But when I go in, that's what happens to me. My body language changes. You know, if I'm with somebody, I start to whisper. I start to feel a sense of calm when there might not have been. I start to feel a sense of peace. I feel, without being too crazy about it, I feel a sense of holiness. It's almost like a burning bush moment. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Profound sense of being somewhere where God is. And that, frankly, is one of the challenges that we have as the journey, is this doesn't quite look or feel like that, does it? Am I being honest? When you walk into the journey, we don't have those kind of symbols or emblems or icons or stained glass windows. But what we do have is an understanding that as we walk through those doors, my responsibility, and perhaps your responsibility, may I suggest, is to think that you are entering into a holy place. If you're not feeling dignified, if you're not feeling calm, if you're feeling unhurried, if you feel like this is the last place that you want to be on a Sunday morning, just take time between that door and that door to say, Lord, just calm me. You just bring me some peace. And if you can't manage it from there to there, there's loads of people in here that will pray for you and ask that the Lord would just give you a sense of peace and a sense of calm. That's not putting rules or restrictions on, but it's just respecting the place that we're coming into. Consider one another as we come into this place. Yeah, something amazing going on in here. You might not sense it. I think for some of us, and I'm speaking to me, it sometimes becomes just a little bit too familiar. And that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy this space in the way it is, but also an understanding that God is here and he wants to be with us. So keep your love on, and also think about not just stained glass windows, but the metaphor I had for my own life, if you like, is I realise that every time I look out of these windows, so just here, probably won't mean much to any other people except those that are really local, but I can look out there and there are people that I can see from this window coming and going that I work with. Parents of children that come along to the zone on a Thursday or do a community cooking club. People that we connect with. And especially those people I work with, I realise that my own life is a window to everyone. You see what I've done there? Yeah. But it is. My own life is a window to everyone, even to my own family, my children growing up. How I act, how I react, how I live, what I say, what I do. My life becomes a window to everybody. So not just Sunday, but Monday to Friday, keep your love on. Because you might not think, pardon? No, I'm coming to that. There's no escape. Being a Christian is a 7-day-week experience. But all I was thinking was that in that sense, it's just the fact that we keep our love on Monday to Friday. We keep our love on a Sunday. Because I realise that I might not think that people are watching me at work, but they are. They do watch me, because I've made a declaration, and I don't go around declaring it to everybody, but if people ask me, I will talk about my faith and what I believe and how much I love Jesus. And sometimes that has a, oh my goodness, effect, or others will simply sit back and reflect, and I know that then they start to watch my life carefully. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? Anybody that tells you that being a Christian is easy, it is not. Anybody else find it being easy? Realising that sense of scrutiny that comes onto your life when you declare that Jesus is Lord. And the third one is walls. Now for us modern people, most of our buildings would be designed to keep us physically comfortable. They keep the heat in and the elements out, and they create boundary points. They let people know where ours begins and theirs ends, etc., etc. But in ancient times, they demonstrated the wealth and the strategic importance of a city. Towns generally were unwalled, but cities had walls surrounding them, so everybody that lived within the city walls had a degree of protection from their enemies. And in Nehemiah's story, Nehemiah got there, didn't I? Yeah. Said I would get to him eventually. There were a number of walls that had been destroyed or ruined over time. And Nehemiah went to the king of his time to ask him if he could rebuild these walls, because they were important to the people of God. And in doing that, what it was demonstrated is that a city with a broken wall reveals two or three things. Is that you, Lord? Can you hear angels singing? It is. It's like angel dust sprinkle on me. Oh, felt all shivery then. But Nehemiah, a city with a broken wall reveals three things. It often reveals a defeated, a despondent, and a disappointed people. Anybody ever felt like that in their life? You know, even using that metaphor of your life being in ruins, that sense of feeling defeated, despondent, and disappointed. But as Nehemiah started to rebuild the walls, it spoke and demonstrated three things. The first was that it demonstrated that God's blessings had returned as promised. It demonstrated that this was a community of strength and unity, no longer divided, but one in purpose of heart and of mind. It also demonstrated that the signs of a rebuilt wall to the enemies, that God was with them. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about the implications that that has for this building here. This is more than just a building. It's a symbol of God's provision and God's protection and God's blessing in this community. I've said it. That's what I believe. It's more than just a building. As God grants us success and blesses everything that takes place in this building, Monday through Sunday, we become more and more developed in our building. Denise, my amazing wife, the Forest Estate Community Hub manager, has been working tirelessly with Vicky and other people, Bob Locker, to further develop this building as a blessing to the community. And so many different kind of people are willing to give and to get involved that don't have anything to do with religion or Christianity. They just see this as being a very important focal point for this community, for this village. Fantastic. It's so exciting. But let's not forget that this church, this group of people, we are more than just a building, aren't we? We're a group of people. We're a community of strength, a community of unity, a community of people joined together with a single purpose, one heart and one mind. I almost felt like singing a song now. I'm sure there's a song with lyrics to that. It was like one vision. Was it Queen? Yeah. Almost went into that then. Goodness me, that would have been a bit radical, wouldn't it? Yeah. But this is more than just a building. It's a fantastic resource. It's a fantastic building. But as everything else starts to happen, Monday perhaps through Saturday, as we start to connect with the community in a very special and unique way, with God's blessing all over it, people are going to start coming through those doors interested in what we're doing here on a Sunday. I believe that with all my heart. Yeah. I believe that with all my heart. So, making Karen's point, she stepped out of the room rather conveniently. So all the time, no matter how you feel, keep your love on, whether it's Sunday, Monday to Friday, all the time, we look to keep our love on Saturday. Yeah, I'll include Saturday. But I'm coming to a close now. I've got my timer. So the whole point of this talk is to remind us, because as human beings, as creatures of habit, we need reminding, don't we? We need reminding that very soon this gathering of people here on a Sunday is going to start to look and feel very different. The building's going to start to change for one, and it's going to be an amazing expression of what God is doing. Here's my challenge. We also have to be an amazing expression of what God is doing as a people. Yeah? And I can see that now. I look out amongst this room and see amazing people that I've known for a long time who are becoming a fantastic expression of the love of God in action. It's fantastic to be part of that. It is so exciting. So for me, I close with an offer for prayer. We gather around the Holy Flip Chart Pad, which is our prayer place. For those people that want to be prayed for in all seriousness and all earnestness, I just ask you these three questions, and I've asked them to myself, and I've been there before. Perhaps the place that you find it most difficult to keep your love on is a Sunday. Not because you're not feeling very loving or unloving, it's just because of everything that's gone on in your week. So perhaps we can just pray that Sunday will become an altogether different expression of what God's doing. Perhaps your battleground's Monday to Friday. You've just had it up to here with colleagues and people who are in your study group and lecturers and da 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 da. All those people that just leave you feeling that you don't have an ounce of energy or love left. Am I being honest here? Happens to all of us, doesn't it? So we'll pray about that as well. Perhaps it just feels like every blooming day of the week. Who's ever been there where every single day of the week you just feel like there's something, something, something? Let's change that today. It's a simple offer, people, to gather around and pray and encourage you to keep your love on. And finally, Andy mentioned this, remind yourself of this truth. I'm going to stand over there shortly, ready to pray. But I just read these words from the Bible. You can close your eyes, whatever else you feel you need to do. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, angels nor demons, our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the very powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I close in prayer. Father God, I pray that for every person in this room, whatever their experience is with you or not, whether they come from traditional or non-traditional churches, that in some way by your Spirit you've spoken to us and reminded us that we need to keep our love on. And whether we belong to you or we don't, we can take something from these words this morning and just be encouraged to be a better expression of who we are to one another by demonstrating love and patience and kindness and sensitivity and gentleness. So, Father God, be with us this week in our Sundays, in our Mondays to Fridays and Saturdays, and on our Sundays, Lord, show us how to keep our love on. Amen. Over there.